Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know what's happening? Tiki and Tierney on this Friday around the country, CBS Sports Radio. Who's ready to roll? We're coming from our studios today, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff today. Teak is out, so I'll be going solo. Other than that, the same show. Amy Trask, my good friend, not only one of the smartest people I know, but really just one of the best people I know. Just a great heart. Talk a lot of football, obviously, with Amy, a former executive for the Raiders. She's going to join me next hour. CJ Nikowski, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. A little baseball, love CJ. Luka Doncic and his candid admission. The Nets scuffling big time. We'll do this next segment. The Astros complaining about Yankee fan tactics the past few days. Are they kidding me? But we start. What else is new? I mean, Diesel, when was the last day we did not lead with Aaron Rodgers? I guess it would be the Wednesday before the draft, like 9 days ago, right?
It's been a while. Yeah, it has to be that Wednesday, because that's when Schefter's tweet landed and the whole sports world went crazy.
Yeah, how about the heat that Schefter's taking, too? He's taking a lot of heat for sitting on that. I don't really have an issue with that. I mean, to me, first of all, I mean, there's really nobody better than Schefter in terms of breaking news, and he's ethical. You know, if anything, you know, he was rolling the dice on sitting on it and having somebody scoop him, which rarely happens. But I understand, I guess, some of the blowback to release it then, you know, kind of take away some of the shine from the draftees, I guess. But let's face it, at the end of the day, probably brought more viewers, more attention to the NFL draft. So I have no issue with that. But it's been a wild 8 days, starting with Schefter's report. And then obviously everybody in football, the entire universe has weighed in, from Terry Bradshaw to Brett Favre, everybody in between. You know, and I got to tell you, the thing that for me has been fairly clear, because you think about what we've heard not from Aaron Rodgers, but we've heard intimations, reports, right? Conjecture that he either A, wants the GM fired, Gutekunst. I don't know if the first one didn't sound right. I'm not really sure if the second one sounded right either, but I think it sounded marginally better than the first. Gutekunst. There it is. Then we heard that he wants Jordan Love gone. And, you know, what he apparently does not want is more money. This is where it gets really interesting to me. See, to me, this kind of further cements my position. I'm on the record now that this has become untenable. And when you have somebody like Aaron Rodgers, who is, you know, definitely a uniquely wired personality, you know, a lot of mixed messaging, a lot of passive aggressiveness, it's just different. And I think when you look at his methodology here, if this report is true, that the Packers apparently offered him money to the point where he would become the highest paid player in the NFL, and he rejected it, well, now it only leads me to further deduce, since he's not motivated by money, and if you're not motivated by money, why in the world would you turn down the biggest extension in the sport, all right? Is he motivated solely by spite? That's one of the theories that's out there. And if so, how is this resolved amicably? You know, if money's not going to soften the, you know, the wounded ego, and again, when you reject $45 million a year, reportedly, then it just further emboldens me to keep getting on the air and tell you, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be an ex-Packer. I do. You know, let me read this for you here. So, according to The Athletic, the Packers got so desperate to fix things with Rodgers that they offered to make him the NFL's highest paid quarterback. Now, the report doesn't say when the offer came in, but only that it happened in recent months. In the end, the deal didn't happen because the overtures, this is quote, overtures were turned aside by the reigning MVP. Now, if the Packers did indeed offer to make Rodgers the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, it means they're willing to give him basically $45 million a year, which would be a monster raise over the money he's making right now, which is around 21 and a half, which is what he's due this year. 14-ish million dollar salary plus about a $7 million signing, roster bonus, not signing, roster bonus. So, you know, 14 change plus 7 change, 21 change. The current title highest paid quarterback obviously belongs to Patrick Mahomes, who signed the monster 10-year, $450 million extension in July. So I think with certain things, I mean, really with everything, you want to strip away emotion and you want to just try to view it through the most pragmatic lens. So I'm going to throw this out there again. And I want to know how I'm seeing this incorrectly. All right. So if this report is true, and again, it's in The Athletic, good sourced, well-sourced, I should say. Obviously a reputable outlet, real journalism. So if this is true, he turned down an overture to become the highest paid quarterback in the game, which means it's not about money. So again, we've heard he wants Gutekunst whacked and he wants Jordan Love gone, or one of the two. Possibly both, but could be one of the two. And in rejecting, reportedly, by rejecting that money, I'm just going to state what I stated before, not motivated by money. It seems like Aaron Rodgers right now is motivated solely by spite. And that is a dangerous, almost unwinnable position for the Packers to be in. Not Rodgers. He'll be fine. You know, because if he's going to get dealt, I mean, listen, all the pressure is on the Packers right now. In my opinion, Aaron Rodgers is sitting there with two aces on the table, two pocket aces. And, you know, he's getting ready to see some favorable cards flipped his way. Whereas, you know, the Packers keep getting lulled deeper into this game of poker, and they've got a non-suited two and a nine. I mean, it's not even sequential. I mean, they're a mess right now. What do? So you try to placate him with money, not interested. Now, do you fire Gutekunst? You know, I got to be honest with you. As much as Aaron Rodgers is the commodity in the building, I think that's a horrendous precedent to set. Because if you fire him, what if Aaron Rodgers has a loose hair in a week and says, ah, you know what? I know you fired him, but I'm still not feeling great about the way this went down. I'm good. Either I'm not showing up to OTAs, I'm not showing up to camp, I'm going to do Jeopardy full time, I'm going to retire. I mean, Aaron Rodgers can do whatever he wants. The Packers are the ones who are really scuffling. I mean, again, they're sitting at that poker table and they've got the visible beads of sweat because they know they got nothing. I'll tell you, this is funny. Well, I mean, it wasn't funny if you were me. D-Cell, listen to this. So, you know, everybody thinks you're getting radio, you're getting TV, that, you know, you make all this money and, you know, certainly you can do well. And it's afforded me a very nice livelihood, thankfully, and I've worked hard for it. But early on, as I've talked about, I mean, it was, you know, packing up and going to this city for $16,000 and going to this town, driving across the country for $25,000. Peanuts, broke, right? Had nothing in my account. And, you know, really, if I didn't have parents who would pay for furniture every time I moved, and, you know, not to mention, shipping prices, whatever, I probably wouldn't have been able to do it, you know? So I'm in Las Vegas. Oh, this was the worst, D-Cell. Now, I've got, at this point, I mean, to be fair, I'm in my 20s, and I'm in Vegas. So, you know, don't don't let this negatively reflect on my character. There's probably a pretty good chance this would have happened to you as well. So we lived about, man, oh man, we probably lived, God, it's been so long since I've really hung in Vegas. We lived in Henderson, which if I recall, it's probably about 8 or 9 miles from the Strip. And really the only time we went to the Strip was on Saturday night when, you know, everybody would flock in. All the out-of-towners, and we knew all the bartenders, we knew everybody. Even though we made no money, we had hookup, so we didn't have to pay for drinks. So I lived with three other guys in this house that we rented in Henderson, right? Really nice place, too. A couple of the fireplaces, I made a wiffle ball stadium, it was pretty dope. And we would drive in on Saturdays and see what was going on, have a good time, you know, young and single. But the other nights, D-Cell, we would go to local pubs, like, contrary to what a lot of people think, there's a real, you know, local existence in Las Vegas. You don't have to go to the Strip. So we play golf. We had some deals at the station, blah, 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 right? So, but again, keep in mind, I've got very nominal funds in my account. Very nominal. To the point where, to my entire name, I've got less than $500. And I'm not getting paid for 2 more weeks. So what I would do is on Wednesdays, I believe it was, I would go to, I think it's called Barley's, which was a casino, a local casino, again, about 9 or 10 miles off the Strip, kind of where we lived. And what I would do is I would go there about an hour or so before my housemates would go. And, you know, we'd throw $50 on it or $30 on a game. You know, if you bet a few games, you get free pizza. So we try to milk everything. So we just had to eat. So anyway, long story short, I'm sitting at the blackjack table, and I don't know, and I'm usually, you know, pretty good, but nobody wins all the time. Matter of fact, the more you play, the more you lose. So I don't care who you are. So I'm losing, having a rough night, and not a ton, because I don't have money, but I'm losing money I don't really have. No debt and credit card, thank God. I was always sensible with that, but no money. So D-Cell, I go to the ATM. And because I lost, like, you know, I lost my chips and I wanted to keep playing. And I go to the ATM, and you know how you can take out money in $20 increments?
Of course.
I've got $18 left to my name.
Oh, man.
$18 to my name. So I can't even withdraw what's mine. Because I can't, you know, you can't say, well, can I have $18, not to mention that at that point, this is 2002, whatever, you know, a dollar casino withdrawal fee. So I'm sitting there, no money. I said, yo, it's time to get out of Vegas. And I swear to God, I was gone and in Detroit working radio within months after that. It was time to go. And I say that because this goes back to the whole Aaron Rodgers poker analogy. The Green Bay Packers have about $18 in their funds and they can't even withdraw it. Like, there's nothing that they could do. They can't say anything to placate Packer fans. They obviously can't do anything to placate Aaron Rodgers because he just turned out a boatload of cash, reportedly. So I'm going to ask you again, what do the Packers do? D-Cell, what's the recourse here? What is it?
The only way that I see that the Packers can somewhat save face here is nobody wants to be the GM that trades Aaron Rodgers or that's forced to trade Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how this plays out where the Packers can save face unless it's a trade where they get back a ton of value. I don't see how Rodgers comes back and plays for the Packers again. I don't see how it's all kumbaya between the Packers, Goot, and Rodgers again. I don't see it.
Oh, by the way, he went for the shortcut. You know, you leave Goot and Coons to me and Tiki every day. Let me hear it. Go ahead. How do you say his name?
Gutekunst.
Nope. Go ahead. Say it again.
Gutekunst.
Nope. Now you got it. You can't hyphenate it. Let's go. Come on. Roll it in. You're a big boy.
Gutekunst.
No. Keep going.
Gutekunst.
You can't break the word up. What are you, my 5-year-old, 6-year-old son?
I'm doing the syllables like you taught to your children.
Yeah, but you got to at least get it right. Gutekunst. I'm kind of messing up that last syllable.
I don't think there's a second N in
there. Well, for me, there is. So who cares? At this point, the guy's going to be gone in a year. We're not going to really need to know his name. Here's the thing, though. The worst, even worse than trading Aaron Rodgers, and I'm with you. You know, there's just certain very unenviable jobs that have to be carried out, like the hit jobs. And, you know, it's the blood's on your hand. There's no glory and everybody hates you. But what's worse, would be to be the GM of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers retires and you get no assets. That's, see, to me, that is the, oh, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers retires, and I'm in the school where I think it's remotely plausible. He is not Tom Brady. He is not Brett Favre. He is not Peyton Manning. I just don't believe that you're going to have to strip those pads off, you know, with a crowbar. I just don't see it. I'm not saying he doesn't love football. Of course he does. And his talent's out of this world, but he's wired differently. There's no way, you know, Tom Brady, forget about now, but even, I mean, think about when he was 37, 38, he wouldn't have left for any job in the world outside of football. Peyton Manning, you know, if Peyton doesn't have that nerve damage and suddenly lose the ability to really grip a football and throw real spirals, which is what happened at the end, he would have kept playing because he hasn't done anything since. If you're, I mean, he's done some, you know, some shorts and he's messed around. He's made some commercials, but it's not like he jumped into a GM job or into the NBC booth or ESPN. Like no, he's just kind of hanging, playing some golf, right? Doing some things and what his schedule dictates. Aaron Rodgers is different, and that's what makes this scary for the Packers. Real quick, say his name. Go ahead, D-Cell.
Gutekunst.
I don't think it's Gouda. I think it's Gunin.
I think it's Gute.
What?
Because there's no second N there. I'm just going with Gute.
Well, no, but there are words where there's no consonant or vowel, but in this case, consonant, and it's still pronounced as if there is one. There are many names like that.
Sure, and I choose not to say them.
Okay, that's fair enough. I got you. Packer fans. I don't know what I'd be thinking if I'm a Packer fan. I don't know. I think there'd be a part of me that would certainly be annoyed with Rodgers, and that's why at the minor league game the other night they were booing his image on the screen. I get it. You know, you went through this with Favre. It's a little different. I get it. You know, Brett Favre put him through the ringer a couple of years in a row. Going to retire or not, going to retire. And I'm like, after a while, it's like, yo, I mean, you're playing or not, buddy. What's the story here? Rodgers hasn't yo-yoed him like that, but the silence is deafening. And really, the silence is paralyzing to the franchise in their ability to do anything, any constructive move. I don't know. I mean, look at it this way. Just imagine if Rodgers retires, and again, I don't think he will. I'll leave the door slightly ajar, more than most. But just imagine if this is not resolved, and Rodgers says, "I'm done. I retire. I'm doing Jeopardy." Right? Well, if he would have retired, say 2 months ago, who knows? Maybe the Packers would have made a move to draft a quarterback. I mean, like everything has been literally put on pause. So not good. And not solved yet. And seemingly not going to be solved anytime soon. All right, if you want to react to that, would love to get your thoughts. Do you think I'm off? Are you with me? You feeling me? Get me on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney or at Brandon Tierney, 855-212-4227. We're on in Green Bay. Are you fed up with Rodgers? Is he being too much of a diva? Is he being too passive aggressive? Is it time for the Packers to play hardball? What do you think? 855-212-4227. Speaking of hardball, Yankee fans relentless in the Bronx the past couple of days with those slimy, cheating, squirmy Astros. Did the Astros actually complain about the nature of the crowd? Did they actually do that? Going to get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. What's happening on this Friday around the country? Bad news, D-Cell. Bad news. Bad news, pal. This is the worst news I could get. Thank God. This constitutes bad news. Thank God. Looks like we're going to be rained out tomorrow for T-ball. Crushing. Look forward to it so much. Be a little wet tomorrow. That stinks. Anyway, tomorrow, it is a big day of sports on CBS, starting at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, the National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup Final. And then at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, it's off to the golf course, where some of the best on tour, they're on the tee, they're on the course, getting after it. It's the Wells Fargo Championship, and it's all coming up tomorrow on CBS. Good news, bad news here. We'll get to see Mickelson tomorrow on CBS. You know, meaningful golf from Phil. That's the good news. The bad news is he's one more rough day away from probably not being seen in a meaningful spot on Sunday. So if you recall, Phil went to basically had the lead yesterday. He played great. He shot a 64 in round one. Went a little awry today for my boy Lefty. Shot a 75. Ugh. He dropped 10 slots, so tumbled down the board a bit. And he is, let's see, still only three off the lead. But there's some guys on the course now. And the leader is Matt Wallace. Who else is up there? Guys you would know, maybe. Rory, of course. Rory's minus four. You've got Phil. You got Bubba at minus three. So we got a pretty decent leaderboard tomorrow on CBS. But, man, I did not watch this. I was following on social media a little bit today. But Phil got pretty sloppy. He had bogeyed six. He bogeyed 11. He bogeyed 15. And he doubled the par 3 17. So, yeah, you add that up. He only had one birdie. The rest par. So great round one, sloppy round two, but Mickelson still within a couple of the shots. Hopefully he plays well this weekend, dials it up, and throws back time a little bit. All right, so coming up later, Amy Trask, who I love, you know that. You follow the show. Amy and I worked together on Tops for, I guess it was 8 years, and one of my favorite people in the world. She's brilliant. She's kind. She's awesome. And we've got her next hour. Also, CJ Nikowski. Is terrific at base. He's just love his baseball commentary. He's going to stop by 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. Luka Doncic with a pretty candid admission. We'll hit that. The Nets are scuffling. We'll get to that as well. Lakers having a rough row. We'll definitely do some NBA Philly. We'll get to that. But right now, you know, let's get to this. So, you know, listen, outside of, you know, when there's a bench clearing brawl and there's real emotional volatility in the stands, you hear people chirping. You know, the occasion, certainly back in the day, you know, Yankees, Red Sox, fever pitch, October baseball, you know, Dodgers, Giants presents that as well. St. Louis and the Cubbies, some of the great rivalries, you know who they are. You know, Mets and Philly, big spots either way, New York or Philly, those places are pretty nuts. But let's face it, the night-to-night emotion of baseball is, it's just different. It's a different pace, never going to change, even though they're trying to pick up the pace, which I'm all for. It's never going to be a football game, never going to be like European soccer. But I'll tell you what, man, you know, and I watched every one of these games, obviously. The yesterday's game, we were on air for the end of it, so I was watching it, you know, while I was speaking. But Yankees and Astros was a hell of a series. First of all, Giancarlo Stanton is just ripping. Every ball he hits is like 115 miles exit velo. He is hitting some frightening shots that thankfully aren't going back toward the pitcher's mound. You know, just as a quick aside, he's hitting balls that, you know, when they find, if they don't find seats, which they have been for a while, you know, if they find a gap, I mean, I'm talking one hop, boom, it hits the wall. 116, hit 118 miles an hour the other night. So he's smashing, right? Yankees are starting to slowly get their act together. But you know, this was a really important series on a lot of levels. Number one, the Yankee fans got a little penance, a little payback here on the Astros, who, as much as I respect their players, and it's crazy because, you know, the day that Altuve gets in the Hall of Fame, you know, and he's going to get there, you know, this scandal's not going away. I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, I'll defend Altuve on this level because, you know, as a real baseball guy, you know, I'm smart enough to know whether you juiced in the bigs, if you were a pure hitter in the minors, or, you know, if you had a buzzer on your chest as you got a little deeper into your major league career. All right, well, what'd you do in the minor leagues? You know, because nobody's using a buzzer in rookie ball to help elevate them to go from A to double A, triple A, to eventually get to the show. Jose Altuve is just a great great player, and he's a great hitter. And I mean, he got the raw treatment this weekend, rightfully so. But, you know, Altuve, as a young player, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, this guy hit, you know, in various stops. He hit 408. 408 in high A ball. All right, granted, 50 games, but 408. And then he gets called up to double A that year, hits 361. Then he hits 341 early with the Astros. He hits 308, you know, in low A. Right away, the guy was raking. 324, his second professional season. But we don't forget, and we never will. And he deserved everything he got. Now, Jose Altuve, being the beast that he is, turned around a letter-high fastball. I don't know how he got around on that pitch yesterday, which was a meatball. And he just kind of tomahawked it to left field for a three-run bomb. And I guess apparently, and it was audible every night. I mean, they were chanting, you know, expletives, which I don't have an issue with that. You know, my son who's six, he can't really make it out. If I'm in the stadium and I'm there with my family, you know what? This is where I become conflicted as a dad, but as a former maniac who can still occasionally get drawn in. I get it, man. I mean, you want to let loose. I'm not going to rail on you on a national show for doing what the Yankee fans did at all. But I also understand, you know, you got little boys and little girls in the vicinity. It's not the best look. So admittedly conflicted there. But apparently, right? Now, if this is true, this is pathetic. Now, there was a Yankee fan, reportedly, in a costume, who was stopped by security and told by the security guard that the Yankees changed policies. You ready? Because the Astros complained to Major League Baseball. Now, to be fair, the Yankees, the Astros, and Major League Baseball all say they are unaware of any complaints. So there's a decent chance this just came from a random guy who was told whatever by a random security guard. I get it. But I'm also, you know, smart enough to know that I don't know I fully believe anything from Major League Baseball. No, it's easy to say, no, I mean, it didn't happen. And quite possibly it did happen. The Astros deserve everything that they get. And they deserve everything they get for the rest of their baseball eternity. However long Bregman's there, however long Altuve's there. Dusty Baker did nothing wrong, and I'm a huge Dusty fan. But those players, you know, Springer's gone. He's hurt again, too, with Toronto. Gerrit Cole is gone. McCullers is still there. You know, I mean, the guys that were there, they deserve to get crushed every time they step on a field. Now, some places will be a little bit more innocuous than others, but when you step into Boston, you know, when you play the Dodgers in interleague, when you play maybe the Cubs in interleague, you know, it is what it is. You know, I think if they venture into Pittsburgh, I think Pirates are obviously rebuilding, not very good. Not going to be a whole lot of juice in that stadium. I get that. But the teams that were intimately affected and or teams with just historically rabid fan bases, get after it. You know, I don't even care if you throw nothing hard, but like, you know, these blow up garbage cans. I have no problem with that. I mean, they made their own bed and they made their own bed. The cheating is one thing. The cover up was something else. But to me, Diesel, what do you think bothered me the most about the Astros? The entire thing. What do you think bothered me the most?
I mean, the old saying is the cover up's worse than the crime.
But to me, it's beyond that. It was the arrogance. To me, it was like the flippant apologies, like especially Bregman and Altuve. Like they were just no contrition, no remorse. They didn't meet it head on. And for that, whatever happens, and again, I don't mean like inciting legitimate violence, but whatever is said, whatever is yelled, whatever they're subjected to within the confines of, you know, of what's acceptable in the sporting universe, they deserve it. And this is going to follow them forever. It really is. You know, I could really even make the case. I'm not going to get too deeply into it now because I've done it before. But to me, this is worse than steroids. It's worse than steroids. Because at least if I'm on steroids, right? If I'm on steroids in the 90s and, you know, up until... do I think it's been fully eradicated from the game? No, I'm not that dumb. Every time somebody comes up with a stringent testing policy, there's some chemist... in some rogue lab coming up with something else that is able to circumvent whatever test they just came up with. So I believe cheaters are always a step ahead, unfortunately. Now, do I think it's been, you know, wildly policed out of or roundly policed out? Yeah, I do, for sure. But you can't tell me there aren't some people who are still cheating. That's ridiculous. There are. But if I'm cheating, if I have steroids, you know, flowing through my system, and my vision's a bit better, and my strength is a bit better, and my explosion's a bit better, and my recovery's a bit better, all things steroids are proven to have benefits for and on, well, you know what? The guy who's 60 feet, 6 inches away, there's a chance he was doing the same thing. So at least I can live with that. You know, I still got to hit the exploding slider on the black, and I still have to be able to read the seams on the baseball to get a sense of where the ball's going and what kind of pitch it is. If I know what's coming, come on. Come on. So I've always thought that electronic cheating far worse than the steroid era. I think I'm in the minority on that, but there's nothing anybody can say that will ever change my opinion on that. And I came down hard on the steroid guys. So imagine how I feel about these cheaters in Houston. Tough. Deal with it. All right, let's get the update from Ack. Ack, real quick, a little late here, but I want to give me your opinion fast. Do you agree, based on the way I just laid it out, that the electronic or digital cheating is worse than the steroids?
I put them on equal footing. I don't like either, but they're equally as
But
bad.
How are they on equal footing when one person's cheating, the other person's not? At least when you're doing steroids, a lot of the pitchers were taking them too.
Yeah, but you don't know who and when. But the other thing, though, is as far as, like, any time you get cheaters, somebody gets affected. And in terms of the steroid guys, it was those guys that weren't cheating and whether it was couldn't stick in the majors or couldn't be as successful in the majors because somebody else was cheating. So, you know, I have a hard time differentiating. They're both as bad.
All right. Well, let's get the update from Mack. He's got it all for you. Coming up after that, inbounds, out of bounds. The Clippers rolled a bit. Roll, baby. But the Clip Show, actually the team to beat in the West. We'll hit that at the Racks update right now. All right. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to inbounds, out of bounds in a moment. The great Amy Trask coming up in hour number two. A little something on Luka Doncic, the Nets, the Sixers as well. CJ Nikowski coming up in the 5 Eastern, hour 2 Pacific. Right now, a little time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros and stick around. Listen later on. Usually, Tiki and I will handle this, but Tiki is off today, so I will address it solo. Get them in, and read it on air. Give you some props as well. Make me think. Come up with something creative. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, D-Cell, did you warm up those pipes? You good to go?
Good to go. Let's do it.
Little in, little out. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, D-Cell, let's see how you do. What do you got, buddy?
Here we go, BT.
You.
As the NFL approaches the 2021 season, the league is battling to find ways to get as many players vaccinated as possible. Along with other leagues, the NFL is offering various incentives and freedoms to players and teams that are fully vaccinated. This week, on One Bills Live, our buddy Steve Tasker asked Bills GM Brandon Bean about the importance of the team being fully vaccinated.
If you're one player away from the ratio from living normal or having everybody be tested, do you just cut a guy that's not vaccinated?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I would. Because it'd be an advantage, honestly.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
We're laughing, but these meetings were not as productive as before because we had, I mean, you guys saw it in the field house. We had 3 and 4 meetings going on, and sometimes you're talking over each other, but it was the only way to pull it off and be socially distant. So it would be an advantage to cut a player and fall under that umbrella.
Wow. Today, however, NFL Network reported that the league spoke with Bean and told him a team may not release a player solely due to vaccination status.
Mm-hmm.
So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, teams should be allowed to release players for being unvaccinated if they believe it will help the rest of the team.
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm a huge Bean fan. He's done a lot right. What you just heard right there, that's not on the resume of right things. That's really... That's a sloppy take right there. Even if you're thinking that, right? You don't say that. There's no way. Now, should teams be allowed to release them just for being unvaccinated if they believe that it'll help the rest of the team? The answer is out of bounds. However, there's a lot of nuance here. You can disguise it. Like, if there's a fringe play. Now, if it's Josh Allen, you're not going to cut him. If it's Stephon Diggs, you're not going to cut him. But if it's, you know, a guy that's roster spot is not fully determined and he's got reasons for not getting vaccinated, either religious reasons or doesn't trust the vaccination process, or whatever it might be, which certainly everybody's entitled to that for sure, you could cut them because they're not vaccinated, but you don't present it that way. So we're playing semantics here. Can you cut somebody for not getting vaccinated? Sure. But you're not going to cut a good player, and you certainly wouldn't position it that way because that's called grievance time. So very odd that Bean went there, maybe because he was talking with Tasker, good familiarity, and I don't know, but that's probably something to keep internal.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, BT, let's get to some hoops here.
You.
The latest round of the Battle of Los Angeles went to the Clippers after a 24-point drubbing of the LeBron-less Lakers last night. Now, the Clippers sit third in the West, just 3.5 games behind the leading Jazz and Suns, and they're a half game up on the Jamal Murray-less Nuggets.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have remained pretty healthy all season long. So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, you do have more faith in the Clippers coming out of the West than you do the Jazz, Suns, and Nuggets.
Out of bounds. I still have to see it out of Paul George, number one, although I certainly think he'll play better than he has in the last couple of playoffs here. But I just don't think they really have that third player. I mean, nobody that I see, and I've watched him play a lot. I mean, obviously, Kawhi's going to do his thing. Great two-way player. You know, you're assuming that George is able to somewhat replicate, and this, you know, this is a bit of an assumption based on some of his postseason, not failures, that's too strong, but postseason deficiencies, I could frame it that way. But if he replicates, you know, who Paul George usually is, that's still only two players. So where are we getting the other guaranteed efforts from? Who's bringing them? So Williams is gone. I mean, who's bringing it? I don't know if I love the third option there. And listen, I can't get overly excited about what they did to the Lakers last night. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's not a barometer. No one's there. I mean, Anthony Davis got hurt basically a couple of minutes into the game. What'd he trip over? What'd he trip over? Camera? What was that? Whatever he tripped over, right? Whatever it was. But, you know, he played 9 minutes. I'm obviously LeBron didn't play. Caruso's still starting. So was Caldwell Pope, which is not necessarily the team that you want to trot out there for championship. I do like Morris, and I've always liked Morris. Zubac is fine. But you're going to get some sporadic performances there. You want to tell me Reggie Jackson? I like him. It was a good pickup. But I don't know if I trust somebody like Jackson, Zubac, or even Morris. Batum. I mean, see, they're Rondo, Beverly. Man, they do have a lot of names. But the problem, well, maybe it's not a problem. My answer is still out of bounds. I love Phoenix. But they have enough other, while they don't have that necessarily, like that night-to-night third reliable guy necessarily, they've got a lot of other, at least five or six other options where that third player can fluctuate, which could be a good thing or could be a bad thing because you don't always know who it's going to be. So the distribution of minutes gets a little tough. I like the Clippers. I don't love them. I like Phoenix better. I probably like the Clippers more than Utah at this point, probably more than Denver without Murray, but I still love the Suns. I do.
Are you in or are you out?
And I'm not ruling out the Lakers if LeBron comes back and is LeBron.
All right, BT, now we take a look at a team trending in a different direction. While the Toronto Raptors are just 2 years removed from an NBA title, but they're all but eliminated from the playoffs this year, sitting four games out of the 10th and final playoff spot for the play-in game. Mm-hmm. As we know, the Raptors have had to play all their home games this season in Tampa, and last night Tampa fans showered the team with booze after their 131-129 overtime loss to the Wizards. After the game, Pascal Siakam wasn't surprised by the booing.
I mean, it's not frustrating because, I mean, again, like, we always felt like we was on the road all year. So, like, I don't think it's something new. You kind of get caught like, oh, like, where are we? But it's just we kind of used to it. And you know, I feel like we felt like that all year. And it's not, yeah, not something new. No excuse at all.
So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, you do believe the Raptors would have made the playoffs if they were able to play their home games in Toronto this season?
Meaning with limited fans, because that's obviously work. I mean, it's hard to answer because think about how strict Canada's been with COVID. So, I mean, what are their great advantages? I mean, the Raptors fans are among as good a fan base in the NBA when you're allowed 19, 20,000 people in the building. But if you have a smattering of applause and you have a couple of thousand, I don't know that makes a big difference. They're 13 games under 500. And listen, let's be fair. Pascal Siakam has not been quite what I think a lot of us thought he was trending to be, you know, and listen, could I reference the PER? Sure. It's below 18, you know, and I thought a lot of people thought it would be better. I thought Freddie Van Vliet was better for, or was ready for a bit of a new role. You know, he's been good but not great. You know, talking about Norman Powell. They got a lot of guys that could put the ball in the hole. You know, obviously we have great respect for Kyle Lowry, but they don't really have a lot of incredibly efficient players. I don't love the makeup of the team. They would have been marginally better, but I just think this was their destiny because I do think, and listen, first of all, with the championship, I mean, Kawhi was there, number one. And I know last year without Kawhi, they were terrific, but I always viewed that as a bit of an overachievement. I think this year could be a bit of an underachievement, but their high water mark with this group is not a lot higher than we've seen so far this year.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, BT, we briefly mentioned yesterday that the Angels designated Albert Pujols for assignment, thus ending the future Hall of Famer's career in L.A.
Yeah.
Pujols was hitting just 198, 250 on base percentage, and an OPS of 372. But somebody came to his defense. Pedro Martinez unleashed on the team on Twitter saying, quote, "I'm not surprised about the shameful way the Angels treated you or your legacy today," end quote. Team president John Carapino said he conferred with Pujols before making the move.
There were several options that Perry, I, and Albert discussed last night. This was, you know, the most agreeable to all of us. But, you know, you always want a player to have a last hurrah or have something. Albert, you know, threw that decision, you know, back to us, and then we made a decision from there.
So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, you would rather see Pujols walk away and retire than latch on to another team for the rest of the season.
Out of bounds. I mean, if it's for nothing else, I mean, can he get one more appearance at home plate and kind of doff his helmet or, you know, walk off the field like Jeter did and some of the other greats? Albert Pujols, are you kidding me? I mean, Albert Pujols is the greatest right-handed hitter I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you know, it's funny because Albert Pujols could not run, you know, flat-footed basically. But Albert Pujols, for three straight years, led baseball in runs scored. Forget about batting average and OPS and the bombs and the ribbies and the doubles. And he led baseball in runs five times. I mean, a guy never struck out, incredibly discerning eye. I want to see him get some more at-bats. You know what? Cardinals, bring him back. Bring him back for a minute. Full circle. Amy Trask, the great Amy Trask, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.